thank you for being a Bump2 subscriber. In this exclusive member-only podcast, Adam and I talk about fear and bravery, feeding your soul, the definition of success, and the need to be able to change and evolve. You know, you talk about bravery. What is the bravest thing that you have done in putting together The Edge of Adventure?
The bravest thing that I have done. On the one hand, Pat, I want to answer that and say, I don't think I had to do much. Yeah. I mean, how brave is it to put together a platform like this, you know? But let me think about that and back up. And I say, well, I guess really the bravest thing I had to do was lay it on the line. Had to lay it on the line. I had a dream. And let's say that dream was The Edge of Adventure, okay? It's so much easier, Pat. You know this. I mean, it's so much easier to hold back, to keep it as a dream, to keep it as something that you think about while you're drinking your morning coffee or your evening beverage or you're on your walk. And it's just something you think about, right? And it, the bravest part was laying it on the line and going after it and taking that first step and going and saying, all right, I don't totally know what I'm doing. I don't totally know where this is going. I can't predict. And you know what? People may laugh. People may think it's the dumbest idea they've ever heard or seen. And that's the part that's bravery, right? You know, I mean, there are other aspects of bravery, of course. But I think the thing that holds a lot of us back is that fear of laying it on the line and in the end, disappointing others or disappointing ourselves.
Well, you know, risking failure in a public way is not something we really seek out on the one hand. On the other hand, I think if a project feeds your soul, it has its own energy. And if you can simply make that jump and commit, and it's scary along the way, sometimes you have to learn new skills, you have to do things you're not comfortable with, you have to go places you may not be comfortable. But if it feeds your soul, I think somehow it all comes together.
I agree with that, Pat. I think that we have all been given this wonderful gift. You're not listening to me out there, ladies and gentlemen. You're not listening to this conversation unless you have been given a remarkable gift. You are here. You are alive. You have people that care about you. You have people that you can influence and do influence. And I believe that we all have that opportunity to do something that will feed our soul. And it's not going to be the same for everybody. It's not. You're going to like to do things that I'd be like, yeah, that would bore me silly. I can't imagine. And vice versa, right? And so it's not about what people build or what they do. I just challenge people to be brave. And it doesn't mean you have to start a business. I'm not saying that. Like, it can be as simple as helping someone else who's doing something you believe in, or going to the soup kitchen, right? Whatever, you know, and volunteering some time. And we spend our lives so focused on ourselves. It's just, I think, part of the human condition that when you get outside that and you give of yourself for somebody else, that's an amazing adventure in and of itself.
Well, you know, we focus on ourselves, but also society wants us to focus on a pretty linear path. You go to the right school, you get the right job, you marry the right person, you have 2.3 children or whatever, the right house in suburbia. And it's such a limiting concept. I've been reading a book called Think Like a Monk. Great book. I really recommend it. And the gentleman writing it is Indian. He's growing up in London. And from his parents' perspective, he can do three things. He can be a doctor, a lawyer, or a failure. Well, he went off to a Buddhist monastery. And you might say in that paradigm, he's a failure, but obviously he's come back and he's influencing millions of people with his insights on life. I think we need to get away from this very materialistic, at least in the U.S., perspective that we have on success, on what defines success.
Absolutely. I would say that while the path you described and the school and the education and the marriage and the kids and the house in suburbia, none of those things are wrong or bad. No, absolutely not. Those are wonderful things. And in this country and in the West, and in not just the West, but in places around the world where people are thriving and there's, you know, economies are thriving. I mean, wow, there's so many wonderful things that can come from that experience. And you should absolutely take care of yourself and take care of your family. But, you know, it's not okay when I think you're not going to be happy when you're letting somebody else define for you what success is. And I think that's what you're getting at. And if it is, you think about Indian culture and a lot of cultures around the world where the parents may decide certain things for the child, they may actually decide for them, or their expectations are set such that, and I've got friends whose parents are from India, and I'm thinking about them right now and the wonderful stories they tell and how absolutely high that the expectation is growing up in a family like that. And not to pick on them, because over here we got our own expectations. But if you let somebody else's expectations define what success is, and then you are, you know, living your life, either it's what you're really doing is you're trying to please other people, right? That's really what you're doing. You're sacrificing your own time and energy and expertise to please other people. And in the end, maybe they're pleased, but you're going to find out it's kind of a hollow feeling.
Yeah, I would agree. I think maybe it boils down to the fact that we're so externally focused, but we don't take a lot of time to focus internally and discover what an interesting path might be. And as you say, there are a lot of steps to this. It may be that being settled and raising your family or whatever you are doing at this point in time is where you need to be. But then it goes back to the topic of change, because all things change and evolve. And can you change and evolve with circumstances?
That's when you really find out what you're made of, right? And then if you are in a moment in your time and your experience where, you know what, you're raising these kids and you're working this job and you know that that's where you need to be. That's what you need to do, right? There's great honor in that. And I've done a lot of that in my life. And it's wonderful. These are great, great things. But as you look for ways to add something to that routine, even in small ways, be brave. Be brave. Be willing to face some possible change and be willing and be brave to apply, this is my admonition, apply what you know and who you are for ways to genuinely help somebody else, not to seek glory for you, but you have been given an ability to help somebody. And in whatever way that might be, and that might be helping a group that's helping people in Africa, far from here, or that might be something right down the road from where you live. But be willing to explore that. I think in the long run, you'll be happier, but you're going to have to be brave and probably going to have to think outside the box.
Oh, but see, I think the fun lies outside the box.
I think you're right. I think you're right. I mean, you're talking to me, right? I think my experience,
kind of birds of a feather here.
Yes, my experience. This is the guy that's gone out of the way to make sure that my own personal look and brand is outside the box, And I wasn't always that way. I wasn't always that way. And by the way, you should be authentically who you are. You should be. I'm not pretending, and nobody else should be pretending either. Be who you are. Be who you are. But a part of the brand and me coming into my own with The Edge of Adventure and the other things that I'm working on is me embracing that person that I am and that person that I was made to be. And yeah, if you see a picture of me, you say, nope, he's definitely outside the box.
It's the hat.
Yeah, right. It's maybe the hat and the beard and the long hair and all the things that would make and probably does make corporate America go, what is this guy doing? But it's
you bring up the idea of safety, and that's a really interesting concept, because I know there was a time in my life when I sought safety, I sought security. I didn't want things to change, and they changed enormously. And what I found was that safety was an illusion.
Okay, well, you beat me to it, because I wasn't going to use the word illusion, but that's exactly how I was going to respond to that question. Look, there is great freedom in letting go. And we should fight for things in this life. We should fight for what's right and pure and honest. We should fight to see good people protected and innocent people protected. We should fight for those things. I don't mean we should give up the fight for those things, but the fight, our own personal fight that we would have and collect and be, admired and be in all the right organizations, and that our colleagues would look up to us and whatever. There's a lot of different things that we as humans instinctively value and look for. And then we find in the end, I mean, that stuff it's hollow. It's empty. It is. And then you think, well, I've spent all this time pursuing these things. Now I've got a little bit of it. And it doesn't even matter anymore. I'm empty. And so it is an illusion. And I guess that I'm correlating that to your concept of safety, because also this idea that we're safe only goes out so far. My health is not guaranteed. And what is guaranteed is that one day it is going to run out. That is what I know. And it's easy in life to push that off way into the future and not consider it or think about the fact that you are mortal and vulnerable. And when you come in confrontation with those things and you accept the fact, if you want to get right down to it, I'm not safe. And there is no such thing as that kind of safety, that kind of permanence in this world. And if I can come to grips with that, kind of give up on the pursuit of it, I find it freeing to, you know what, go live your life, do things that matter, and be good to people. And I find a lot more fulfillment in that space than I do in the pursuit of some of the other things that I've spent part of my life pursuing, and I decided it wasn't that important.
Yeah, no, I agree. And you bring up the topic of mortality, which to me brings up something kind of interesting that I ponder sometimes. And that is that we live on in this electronic world beyond our actual years, or we have the capacity to do it. Wow, that's amazing.
It is amazing. And maybe a little bit creepy, Pat, but it is true. And we feel like, as all of us listen to this and talk, as we are in this conversation, we think about social media and the internet like it's always been here, right? Like we kind of have grown so accustomed to it, we forget what life was like before this. And life was pretty different, guys. I mean, you think about how the Industrial Revolution changed the world. And now this, information technology and the internet and mobile devices and And it's already been changed. And I'm quite sure that we're headed to some big changes in the next 5 and 10 years that we can't fully predict here now. But yeah, we do live on. We do live on. And maybe that just makes me go back to that same question. The footprint that I leave behind, will anybody care? Like whatever gigabytes my footprint's going to take up in after I'm gone, will anybody care? And I hope that when the day comes that I'm taken home, that I hope that the whatever legacy I leave behind will matter, you know. And but I also don't live under, you know, these pretenses that, you know, that what I've seen is that, you know, when people do something to impact culture, most of us impact the culture like right now while we're alive, while we have this influence. And then when the day comes that we're gone, there is a period of time that influence lingers on. And then it becomes time for the next generation to pick up that banner, right? The baton does get passed to the next generation. Maybe that's what I'm getting at here. So the investment that we make in the next generation and in other people will hopefully prepare them to carry that banner. Because, look, I still think of myself as a super young guy. You know, again, tomorrow's not promised. But the day will come where it'll be done. It'll be done for me. And hopefully I get to live to a ripe old age and we can, you know, revisit this conversation when I'm 99 and a half. But if not, I just hope that the time and my efforts made a difference. You know, there's a lot of people out there that really matter, and that I just want to see something change for them in a positive way.
Yeah, no, I agree that the baton gets passed on from generation to generation, and it should. But one of the things I find really interesting, if you take a longer-term historic perspective of things, is that human behavior never changes. And until we learn to share wisdom, experiential wisdom, in a way where we can really pass it along to people, we will continue to just do the same things again and again. I mean, that is human nature. I have a map from the late 1700s that chronicles John Law's expeditions in the New World. And one of the things he was going to do was mine iron ore to create gold. Well, obviously, it didn't happen. And in the bottom right-hand corner of this map is a picture. It's called a cartouche. And there's a pedestal and the goddess of plenty, I believe, standing on the pedestal. And she's handing out riches to these very wealthy, well-dressed investors on the left side of the pedestal. At the base of the pedestal are cherubs cutting up worthless stock certificates. And on the right-hand side of the pedestal are the everyday men that invested in this and lost everything. And given my background in finance and everything, I love that map, because man doesn't change. And I think that one of my hopes would be that perhaps through some of this electronic discourse that we have, the social media and whatnot, that maybe we can pique somebody's interest or attention to get them to think about something they might not have thought of. And I think that as you get older, you have so much to share. And I think it's, I don't want to say our duty to share because nobody may want to hear it, but maybe at some point we are going to tell a story or say something that really touches somebody and makes them reexamine their life.
I agree with you. I think that the footprint that we're now able to leave behind has the potential to impact generations, and hopefully it will. I think if we are sincere and we're authentic and we really give it a shot of just, you know, I'm not a perfect person, but I'm going to try to create something in my own way that has lasting value, then I think it will. I think it will have lasting value. When you We're in this time is so interesting that think about how much the world has changed in the last 100-120 years. It wasn't that long ago that just even having a photograph of someone or of an event was unique. I mean, it was hard to, it didn't, there's a few, right, from the late 1800s and so forth. But you think, wow, when they're looking back 120 years from now, my concern is there's going to be a lot of noise. My concern is there's going to be a lot of noise. And I think that that's more reason why we should be about creating quality content and not contributing to the noise. Okay, maybe that makes me an old fogey, but I am not interested in contributing to the noise of today or what will be perceived as noise in the future. I want to do something that has real value, as I know you do. I mean, we spend our time and our energy and our money working on these things because we believe in them, and we think that we've been given a gift that if we can share it somehow, it will help somebody. And I do believe that. And I do know that we're mortal. I do know that life is a gift and that life can be taken. I mean, it can affect you as the individual, but it can also affect other people that you love. And everybody listening to this, we've all lost people. And in many cases, we've lost people long before it was their time. And when that happens, it absolutely drives that point home that our time here is limited. So let's do things that matter now and will hopefully matter well into the future.
And let's have some fun along the way.
Do we have to? My gosh, I'm instinctively so boring. And but no, you're right. Let's have some fun because it is a beautiful experience, all this. And I've gotten to the point in my life, and maybe it's my personality, but I've gotten to the point where I try to embrace both joy and sadness. And I can't be lopsided in either direction. If a person is only focused on the sadness in life, that's an unhealthy balance. There's so much joy. But I'm not the kind of guy that argues that you should be only focused on the joy. I mean, the joy is wonderful, and it's a great thing. But the sadness in life also motivates me.
Well, and the sadness makes the joy so poignant. I mean, I think you have to know, dark to know light, sweet to know sour, sadness to know joy. To explore any of those sentiments, you have to experience the darker side, or the dark side, the light side. You have to experience both.
Indeed, you do. The joy and the loss, that sadness, right? I had a conversation recently. It was just reminding me of a conversation I had about that sadness, and I kind of carry a sadness with me. I don't think of myself as being a sad person or being a Debbie Downer, right? But I am keenly aware of the brokenness of this world, of the people that are in need, of the innocent who suffer, of those who go hungry due to no fault of their own, of people who can't get the medical care that they need. And honestly, if they could just get the basic medical care, they'd be okay, right? I mean, I carry that with me, and that's very sad stuff. But I see that sadness immediately, and and I see a joy that is that supersedes it, I guess, in a way, because there are so many good people in the world. There's so much love in the world. There's so much kindness. It's not everywhere. We know that, but there's so much of that that I also just fully embrace it, and I'm willing to do what I can and to help other people who are doing what they can, and yet knowing the world is a broken place and it is full of pain and suffering, and we have to come to grips with that in order to be free, right? That gets back to what we said earlier about being able to be free and let go and say, I know the world is not going to be free of these things. I know I'm not going to live forever. I know these things, and I'm willing to let go and accept those things, while at the same time fighting for what's good, fighting to make some difference. And the difference that Adam Asher can make, it's not that much. It's not that much. I mean, I do what I can. I'm just some dude, but I'm going to do what I can, right? And at the same time, I am also aware of how my entire life's effort is really just one drop in the ocean. And fortunately, there's a lot of drops of kindness in the ocean, and it's coming from people like you and so many of our listeners right now.
Well, I think, one of the things that comes out of the edge of adventure is I think it encourages people to step outside their lives, think about volunteering, thinking about giving of themselves. And I think that experience can really be profound in terms of reorienting people from maybe a more external approach to life to a more heartfelt approach and a more empathetic approach.
If it does that, Pat, then it will have done a mighty thing, because that's my hope. My hope is that when you watch the series or you listen to the podcast, of course, secondarily launched the Edge of Adventure podcast to supplement and allow me, especially the last year with all the travel restrictions and the world we've lived in, the podcast has allowed me to virtually go to so many different places. But yeah, it's I hope so. I hope when you watch the series or you listen to the podcasts or you follow along through social media. And by the way, there's an app coming. We don't have to get into that, but it's.
Can you share, or is this still top secret?
Well, it's obviously not top secret, but you're the first public location where I have announced that, and I won't go into all the specifics, but the app is built. We haven't gone live with it yet. Now this. Will be very soon. So if not, you just need to go to theedgeofadventure.com or adamasher.com and look up to get the current status if it's not out yet. But the concept behind it is to help nurture this community that cares about adventure and cares about purpose. And they want it for their own lives. They want both of those things. They want adventure. They want purpose. And they also want a place that where they're actually a part of it.
Thank you for joining us today. I hope you found something in today's podcast that inspires you along your own life's path. Because sometimes a bump in the road is actually a portal into a more conscious and meaningful life. You can subscribe to our free podcast at www.bumpintheroad.us or become a premium member to hear the full conversation. Just go to www.bumpintheroad.us for more information and to sign up.